This is Jay Sekulow. We've got an update from the hearing on the internet and also an update on Pastor Saeed's case.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets
that inclusivity and that openness guarantees that no one captures the system in the same way the internet is architected, and I'm an engineer. I can tell you that the architecture works this way and the governance should work this way. No one should capture it. And I agree with President Clinton.
A lot of these people who say they want multi-stakeholder control over domain names and internet access, what they really do is want the ability to shut down inconvenient exchanges within their own countries.
And it really doesn't matter. Keep on wrong and right.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Pastor Saeed Abedini's wife says he's doing better now that he's getting some medical treatment. The American pastor has been jailed in Iran for 18 months. He was recently transferred to an Iranian hospital to be treated for injuries he suffered in prison. His wife, Naghmi, told Faith Radio that her husband is finally being given decent meals and pain medication, but she says he still needs surgery. Pastor Saeed was visiting Iran to start an orphanage when the Islamic regime arrested him and sentenced him to 8 years in prison.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be talking about the fallout from the hearings yesterday on the internet issue. We're also going to be talking about Pastor Saeed's case. In fact, let's start with that. And we're taking your calls on all these issues at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Of course, our thoughts and prayers with the people in Fort Hood with that horrible situation that happened again there yesterday with now three dead and I think 14 wounded. So our prayers for those families as well. Jordan has just gotten back from the region on Pastor Saeed's case. He's been out of country. We did not discuss where Jordan was while he was away. But, Jordan, why don't you give us a report?
Sure. We were actually in the Middle East working with countries there who may be willing to assist in the possibility of Pastor Saeed's release from Iran, at least return home to his family. So continuing to do everything we can, follow every possible lead, potential source to get him home sooner rather than later. And, of course, good news to report that he's still in this hospital situation.
Which is great.
But we never know how long that will last. So, but important for everybody to know because people call in all the time and ask, and it kind of changed at least his health and is getting him back to a much better health state, which, of course, helps if he was to be released or if he had to go back to prison. Being here, being in the hospital has helped.
Now, you had high – I mean, we're not going to go into the details, folks, because we can't, but it's fair to say that, Jordan, you had high-level meetings with leading governments in the region. What was the – what kind of sense did you get from those meetings?
You know, a lot of things have changed since the United States has opened up dialogue with Iran, and there's been a lot of turmoil in the region between countries that work with Iran, countries that don't work with Iran. Remember, for the most part, Iran is the Shia-dominant Islamic country, and then the rest are mostly Sunni. And we're talking 90%, 95%, 99% Sunni. So there's been a rift always, but some of the countries have better relationships than others. There's been, you know, a lot of President Obama was in Saudi Arabia, actually, while we were on the way over to the Middle East because of their concerns about the nuclear negotiations with Iran. So, again, it's something I don't think we would have seen these kind of meetings or the potential for this take place, you know, a year and a half ago when there was no dialogue between the United States and Iran.
So it's fair to say that the president opening up that dialogue in that sense has helped.
Absolutely. It's given the green light for other countries and governments to move forward with the help they can provide.
So there's some help from the administration on that one, which we appreciate. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 on Pastor Saeed on how do you feel about surrendering the internet? 1-800-684-3110. And by the way, 111,000 of you signed our petition today and tomorrow. Last 2 days to do it. Don't let dictators get control of internet domains. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989 2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Everyone, we're taking your call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about Pastor Saeed's case. We're talking about the internet. We do have a development on the internet situation and the transfer. Some pretty serious opposition on the internet transfer. And Than, why don't you talk about what's happened now with the United States Senate? Looks like we've got some legislation being introduced there.
Yeah, this really could be significant. We talked on yesterday's broadcast about the need for somebody to step up in the Senate and actually put legislation forward. You know, Marco Rubio and John Thune wrote a letter expressing concern. That is, of course, a good step, but we really needed somebody to take action. Senator Ted Cruz has become very concerned. He's very concerned that this transfer would end up with a foreign entity in control. So he is drafting legislation as we speak to address the issue, Jay. We're not entirely sure what it will look like, if it will kind of combine the .com Act in the House along with Mike Kelly's legislation, or what it will do. But the good news is Senator Ted Cruz is talking about it, and we expect to see legislation in the Senate from him very, very soon.
Let me give you some other good news, too, as well, folks. 111,203 of you have signed on to our petition. Let me say that again. In less than a week, 111,203 people have signed on to this petition. That's just online. With phone calls, we're well over 115,000. Not letting, you know, Russia and China get control of the internet. We went through this yesterday. It's so ironic and bizarre, the approach that the administration's taking to this, this transfer. And yet the opposition is now starting to come out, which is good. People are opposing it. And we've now got legislation being, it looks like, introduced in the United States Senate, which is also a plus. So we've had a hearing in the House. We've got legislation that's dropped in the House of Representatives, and now we have legislation look like coming from our friend Senator Ted Cruz as well. So that is a really positive development. If you want to sign on to the petition, last 2 days to do it, simply go to aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And when you do that, this way you can be part of this team that is going to Capitol Hill to get this done. We don't want this internet control transferred from the United States. We think it's just ridiculous that that's being considered. We also want to give you an update on Pastor Saeed's case. We're taking your calls on all of these topics, and there was also a hearing on Fast and Furious where the director of the ATF said no one has been yet held accountable as far as lost their employment with the United States over Fast and Furious. Can you believe it a year later, year after it really hit the news? 1-800-684-3110. It's really been closer to 2 years. 800-684-3110. And we're taking your calls on all of these topics. Jordan, let's go ahead and go to the phones.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Catherine in Florida, online one. Catherine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Jay. Nice to talk with you. We're upset about this, Jay, because it seems like we're surrendering our sovereignty even more than we already have. We're going to have people who do not have America's best interest at heart deciding issues about what we do on the internet, what's good, right, what's not good, and it's very upsetting to both my husband and I to hear about this.
Well, here's the reality. Let me play for you yesterday. This is the soundbite that I really keyed off on the most yesterday, was from the head of ICANN, who said, you know, asked all these series of questions, and let me play it for you. And this shows you how concerned I am about this.
This announcement shows the world America's values again. Who else would do that? What nation would have the vision, the magnanimity, the consistency to do what we're doing here?
No nation would. Because no nation would surrender, Jordan and Fan, no nation would surrender control of the internet to regimes that are not only rogue regimes, but regimes that have influence like Russia, China, the Organization of the Islamic Conference. Nobody would. Nor should we, as President Clinton said, which I agree with. And I just do not understand where they're coming from.
Right, without a plan, without a, you know, without any kind of explanation for where this is going. And the truth is, we know about Russia, we know about China. These statements have been very public. They have been putting the pressure on for this move for years. And now, as the internet really taking shape and affecting, I mean, literally every citizen of the world's life outside possibly North Korea, and even there, many people likely are using that in a way that may violate their law, but to communicate with the outside world. But we've seen, I mean, in places like Africa, for the continent of Africa, where mobile internet usage far outweighs the amount of actual computer-based internet usage. I mean, the idea here, again, we've set up this system for the world to understand what freedom is like, to be able to communicate. Dictators still go after the people who utilize the internet. They still try to find them, locate them, arrest them, even execute them because of the speech they have. Why make it easier for them to stop the speech they don't like?
Okay, so Than, is your sense right now in Washington, based on the hearings yesterday, and you were there, right in the room as this was going on, you were presenting our case to staff members and members of Congress, we've got now movement out of the United States Senate, is your sense that we've got a momentum shift in our direction here?
I do think we do. I mean, this is the concern I have. I think the momentum is on our side, but there was some sense in the room yesterday that the justification for a transfer like this is that the international community will like it. And you know, I think the response to that, Jay, has to be, well, no kidding. I mean, if Vladimir Putin is going to be given a tool as powerful as the internet, of course he's going to like it. Our response on behalf of the United States, and it can't just be the president, it's got to be Republicans and Democrats in Congress, has to be, we built the internet, we are going to defend its value, we are going to ensure that it remains as free as it has always been. I think the momentum is on our side, but that coalescing really does have to happen very, very soon.
Well, we are working on it as well, and working on it aggressively. Let me say a huge thank you also to the 111,000 of you that have signed up online. Go to ACLJ.org, sign on to that petition today. Today, tomorrow, last 2 days to do it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. I do want to take another moment here and talk about Pastor Saeed's case. I know we're kind of hitting both subjects today, but obviously Jordan was out for a week. We never said where he was going. We never said he was gone. Jordan, let's explain to folks, without divulging information that's too critical here, the nature of what you were doing, because folks, you know, I want everybody to understand that when it's not in the news, the Pastor Saeed's case, we are working it very aggressively on multiple fronts. Even today, we've got negotiations going on with another government that is looking at intervening out of Europe. So there's multiple parts in all this, Jordan, but let's give everybody a sense of what we had and what you were doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think a way to explain it is a predominantly Muslim, we're talking 95-98%, if you actually look at the citizens, it'd be about 100%. Islamic countries with good relationships with the United States, who also have good relationships with Iran, and so they play this interesting role. And because of finally the President of the United States speaking out, and what we hope, and we couldn't guarantee to this government, but what we hope is that if they check with their State Department contacts here within the United States, that our government will encourage them to move forward this way. And that we also hope that Iran will say, okay, this is a way we could no longer have to deal with this problem when we're talking about a nuclear issue and having to sit down with media from around the world. And we don't necessarily have to deliver someone like Pastor Saeed to the United States directly, which would be a bit of a problem internally and domestically in Iran, that we could deliver in a humanitarian way from Muslim to Muslim. And we talk about that from the government. And so whatever happens to him after delivered to another country for humanitarian reasons, you know, linked to the fact that he's been hospitalized now for weeks, and which is an acknowledgement in Iran of the seriousness of his medical condition, that you know, releasing him to a country that may have better care, you know, available, and if they decide then to let him return home to the United States, well, that wasn't Iran's decision. So very complicated. It was a last-minute trip, you know, halfway across the world, and I'll tell you, if this ever becomes public, folks, where exactly were what we were doing. It's not what you'd expect, and that's part of the whole process, is doing everything we can possible, not just the obvious. And the obvious responses are going to Europe and going to the UN, right, but to countries that you would never guess would be willing to help.
Well, I got to tell you something, folks. This was Jordan did this on no notice, and I got to tell you, we are doing everything humanly possible right now. As Jordan was traveling back, we were working with our offices in Europe and in Virginia. We're working with governments in Europe to engage Iran as well. So we're doing this on multi-capacity approaches, multi-faceted approaches. And I will tell you something else. I was in Washington just late last week and talking with members of Congress, with Than, about this. Jordan and I and Than were in meetings talking with members of Congress about this. We've got multiple fronts working here, and we're going to continue to fight back and fight hard. We'll have updates on this and Pastor Saeed's case and others as things go on. We're also going to talk about the situation with the Palestinian Authority in the Middle East in the second half hour of the broadcast. You're not going to want to miss that. If you've got questions you want to ask us, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. A huge thank you again to our members that allowed us to blow past our goal, our stretch goal for our March matching challenge. We were just thrilled with the response that we had. Thank you. We'll be talking about we have a March and April one, as everybody knows. That's our 2 months for doing that. We will talk about that next week. But, again, thank you for making our March a successful one. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on
on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. You want to talk to us about Pastor Saeed's case, Fast and Furious, the internet transfer, all of those topics. We are available to talk to you at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yep. Let's go to Michael calling from Texas online, too. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi,
you're
Michael.
On the air.
Yes. How are you doing today, sir?
Good.
Yeah, I was talking with people from the Mexican Army that they're here in Texas, and we were talking one day, and their understanding was that because of the Fast and Furious, the guns that were out there that led to the capture of El Chapo.
Yeah, and there's a drug cartel member that's in U.S. custody has made that claim. I don't think it's been verified by government officials, but those guns from Fast and Furious were also used to kill Border Patrol agent Terry. And so this has been a fiasco for the Department of Justice. It got some more attention yesterday. I think it was fair to say the dominant story yesterday was Benghazi more than Fast and Furious. And by the way, we're taking calls on the Benghazi situation because we've been following that one, as you know, very closely. Some unbelievable revelations in that one. So if you want to talk to us on Benghazi, we're taking those calls as well at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Is this going to fall on Hillary Clinton? That's going to be the real question. Fan, you know, I know you were tied up in the internet hearings, but we all were following the Benghazi hearings. It was not a good day for Hillary Clinton because her State Department during that time, the statements coming out are pretty unbelievable right now.
Yeah, it was a really bad day for, you know, the quote-unquote most transparent administration ever. You had the Fast and Furious news coming out. You had the Benghazi hearing where the CIA director, Mike Morrell, came to the Hill and basically tried to be the scapegoat for those talking points that were changed. But at the end of the day, and this probably is going to be one of the dominant issues in the presidential cycle, will Hillary Clinton own up to what her State Department did in Benghazi? You had American diplomats who were killed. They were killed in a blatant terrorist attack, and there was a cover-up. I mean, plain and simple, there was a cover-up. Yesterday, Mike Morrell tried to take the fall for that, but Jay, he was not the only one involved. It was very apparent at that hearing today, and we will see if this administration ever becomes transparent on this issue. They certainly haven't yet.
You know, it's interesting. Let me play for you Mike Morrell's comments yesterday. And by the way, if you want to talk about Benghazi, and do you think this will have an impact on Hillary Clinton running for president, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Should the Benghazi matter have an impact on Hillary Clinton's candidacy if she decides to run? 1-800-684-3110. Here's Mike Morrell.
At the time, I did not know. But to be fair, and in retrospect, what I wish I would have done was to say to you, Chairman, I do not know who took Al-Qaeda out of the talking points, but you should know that I myself made a number of changes to the points.
Again, he doesn't know who took Al-Qaeda out, which means they were in there, but then they were taken out. And that goes back to the narrative of Jordan never wanting to talk about terrorism as terrorism. And the question is going to be, does it fall to Hillary Clinton and what responsibility she had? She was a Secretary of State during this time.
Yeah, and then the impact this, of course, has on the Democrat nomination process, which right now, you know, people assume that this is, you know, Hillary Clinton's and no one else's. And certainly that's been the narrative so far, high support level among Democrats. But at what point does this make her just not marketable enough politically to a broader audience than, you know, the typical Democrats who are the partygoers who vote in primaries? And will there be other opposition step up? I mean, there are long-term ramifications of this. And ultimately, I don't think it's wrong to talk about the politics of this because we're talking about the politics of who could be president of the United States. And if it impacts that, the more information we have to know about the potential individuals who may run for the most powerful office in the
yep.
world that we elect, I don't think it's just playing politics with what was a terror attack, but it's getting to the truth to know if you want to elect someone like that to be the leader of the country and the leader of the free world.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me ask you the question, should Hillary Clinton be responsible. What responsibility does the Obama administration have for the Benghazi disaster? 1-800-684-3110. Let's take another call, Jordan.
Yep, Dale in California on line 4. Dale, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Dale.
Good morning, Jay and Jordan. Jordan, yep. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Dale.
I had a question and a comment. A question is, I would like to know if President Obama could bypass Congress and relieve the internet to those other countries, to the U.S.
Well, he's tried. Let me tell you something, Dale. It's a great question. That's what he's doing. This did not come out through legislation. This was a directive coming out of the Department of Commerce, the Commerce Department. They were just going to do this. They were released that they were going to do it last week on Friday afternoon, late in the day, thinking no one's going to pick it up. And lo and behold, we did. But, the plan was to do this administratively. The legislation's now needed to block it.
Yeah, this is important for people to understand. This is not something we're guessing about. This is something that the Department of Commerce, under the direction of the President of the United States, have already announced. This transition is in place. It is supposed to be finished by 2015. Just to get technical for just a second, there is a contract between the Department of Commerce and ICANN. That is what the President wants to transfer. Now, what we are asking for is what Mike Kelly has put in his legislation. He has simply said this cannot happen unless Congress approves it and the president signs it. So he wants both branches to be involved. The president wants to do this unilaterally, and he's already taken that first step.
You know, and the question I think that everybody's asking on this is, why are we doing this? And let's play that soundbite from President Clinton, because I think this says it all, folks, on the internet transfer. We talked about, Hillary Clinton getting some legitimate pressure on the Benghazi front. But here's what Bill Clinton said about the internet transfer.
The United States has been by far the country most committed to keeping the internet free and open and uninterrupted. And a lot of these people who say they want multi-stakeholder control over domain names and internet access, what they really do is want the ability to shut down inconvenient exchanges within their own countries.
And the president, I believe, is absolutely positively correct on that. And it'll be very interesting to see how the Obama administration cares about that and deals with that. Fan, what's the political calculus here?
Honestly, I think what you just heard from Bill Clinton really says it all. He is in touch with the liberal grassroots on this. The liberal grassroots is opposed to transferring control of the internet. But President Obama really seems to be more in tune with the international community. Remember, he doesn't have to go back to the American people and get another single vote. So I really do think this is about his international legacy. And I suspect, Jay, that the Democrats who are going to run for president are going to come out on the side of Bill Clinton on this one.
This is going to be really interesting to watch, folks, and we're working hard. We've got it going both in the House and the Senate now. Looks like we'll have legislation introduced in the Senate in the next week or so. So we asked you to respond. You did. You have been. You continue to. And the end result is we're getting some real response back, and that is in the form not just of hearings but actual legislation to block the transfer of the internet. We're taking your calls when we come back from the break, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the chances are here of this impacting Hillary Clinton, this whole Benghazi mess, fast and furious on the president? But again, we also have to say at the same time, Jordan said it, the president's overtures to Iran certainly made Jordan's job a little bit easier when he was in the Middle East, this region. So for that, we thank the president. So when we agree with him, we'll say we agree. When we disagree, we're clearly going to say we do disagree. 1-800-684-3110 is the number if you want to talk to us on air. 800-684-3110. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into a little bit of this Palestinian Authority move yesterday at the UN and no meeting with Secretary Kerry. That's going to be a big discussion point coming up next week. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on the petition. Last day to do it. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition. Remember, share us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook as well. Follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Broadcast, everyone. We're talking about Benghazi. We're talking about Fast and Furious. We're talking about the internet transfer. We've been talking about Pastor Saeed. Now we're going to be also adding to that what's going on at the UN and the Palestinian Authority and some of these prison transfers that were going on, the potential release of Jonathan Pollard. I mean, and ACLJ is involved in all of these on various levels. So we also got your calls coming in, folks. So we're aware that David French is joining me in the studio here in our media center. Jordan and Than, of course, in Washington. To get everybody up to speed, there was supposed to be a meeting between Secretary of State Kerry and Mahmoud Abbas. This is the head of the Palestinian Authority, Abu Mazen. He was supposed to. They were supposed to have this meeting. Secretary of State Kerry was asking for more. Negotiations coming out of Israel. They were throwing out the possibility of the release of the spy that spied on the United States for Israel. This was back in the 1970s and 80s, Jonathan Pollard. That became a big issue. And they were going to throw, basically it appeared that the White House, David, was going to let him go. He's been ill. He's served, I think, 30 years already. And they were going to let him go if the Israelis would do more negotiation. And then out of nowhere, Mahmoud Abbas signs all these agreements with the UN, which brings up a whole issue of whether they could do that and whether we can keep funding when they do that. So, and then the meeting gets canceled.
Right. I mean, surprise, surprise, the Palestinians violate their agreements with Israel. I mean, this is an old tactic of theirs. Whenever there's an impasse or they feel like they're not getting their way in the peace talks, they will make a move towards the UN to try to make their recognition as an independent state, cement that further and further and further independently of Israel. Now, this is something that has they promised they wouldn't do years ago when, you know, they signed the accords with President Clinton, and yet they continue to do it again and again and again to try to increase their leverage. I don't think it's working, though. Israel's not buying it.
Well, it's not just a question of Israel not buying it. There's another issue here, and that is, of course, that the Palestinian Authority, by signing these agreements, we've got a letter that Skip and I have authored that's going out today. On this whole issue, when you, Than, and I know you've been looking at this from the UN situation, when the UN, when they signed these agreements and they were seeking all this Palestinian Authority, you know, statehood recognition, we have laws on the books that say once that happens, we stop funding.
Yeah, that's right. That's the domestic angle here, and that's what this letter that you're sending to Congress today, along with Senior Counsel Skip Ash, reminds Congress of. If the United States wants to do this, if they want to recognize the Palestinian Authority in this way, the PLO in this way, they are disqualified from receiving U.S. funds. This administration has not always followed that law. So this letter outlines in great detail what our current law is on this and reminds the administration that they may not fund these entities if the UN continues down this track.
Jordan, you, of course, deal a lot with the UN, as does Than, and you've been over there and you've testified and done oral interventions. What's your sense of what's happening here?
Well, I think, you know, things are falling apart.
You were just
rapidly
in the region, too. Yeah.
So. Underscoring a problem with this, the significance and also the seriousness of which the United States is respected by these governments and these entities like the Palestinian Authority. And this is pretty unprecedented to, again, you know, cancel meetings with U.S. officials, pull back on talks. Now you've got this situation. I mean, it's a lack of respect for the United States and the role it plays. And I think this is just, it kind of underlines the bigger picture of where we are in the world right now when you have countries like Russia invading other sovereign countries in the world, doing nothing about it, except for saying, well, we don't like that. It changes the way that the rest of the world sees us and whether or not they're even nervous or scared about, would we really stop funding the UN and do they care?
Well, that's which raises a whole other question. When we come back from the break, I'm going to ask this to David French because I suspect this is going to be big news next week. It's gotten kind of muddled and everything else going on. But we have obviously, with an office in Jerusalem, we're seriously concerned about this. Folks, we want to know what you think about it as well. The recognition by the UN of a Palestinian state and what the United States should do about that, considering we have laws on the book. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And remember, we've got the petition up right now on the internet transfer. We've got a great response to that at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Now, if you want to talk about this Israel situation, Palestinian Authority, the UN, and the United States, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, talking about a variety of issues today. 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go to the phones. We've got a lot of people that have been holding.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Mac in Tennessee on line two. Mac, welcome to Jay Sekulo Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Mac.
Hey, Jay. I'm a real supporter.
Thank you.
I really believe in what you're doing, and especially with the IRS and everything else.
Thanks.
My comment is on Benghazi. Reports was during the Benghazi attack, Obama was nowhere to be found, and that the ambassador several months before the attack even occurred, that he had been threatened.
Oh no, there was more than threats, David. There were attacks on the embassy and the compounds. I mean, it wasn't Mac. It wasn't just, you know, there were threats going out towards him. There was actual, you know, attacks that took place.
There was a small bomb thrown at the wall of the diplomatic compound. I mean, the threats and attacks were so bad that the other diplomatic missions of European countries were evacuated from Benghazi, and the only thing we evacuated from Benghazi in the atmosphere of all those threats was our security force. They decreased security even when all of these attacks and threats were happening. I mean, this is the thing. There's so many layers to this scandal. There's no way Hillary Clinton should be president without owning up to the fact that it was her call, her State Department's call, to decrease security when everyone else saw the environment is so dangerous that they were leaving Benghazi entirely.
You know, Jordan, you were just in the region. Can you get, and you were in a number of countries, can you get a sense of what was happening? Can you get a feeling on the ground of what's happening?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a situation that's interesting. When you get outside of that specific area of the Middle East, you know, it's a problem for everybody. It's a problem for allies of the United States, a problem with their constituents, the people within, who hear a lot of rhetoric against Israel on television and in the news in the Muslim world. At the same time, these governments are not trying to pick a fight. They could not stand next to it. They don't have the same kind of military capabilities. They've got, you know, this interesting dichotomy where most of these governments are, at the one hand, you know, with rhetoric, are not supportive of Israel. At the same time, they have Marine bases, you know, and U.S. military bases on their sovereign land. And so it puts them in an interesting situation. It would be a problem. I think most of that world would be happy to go away. The problem is some of that going away is the whole rhetoric of, you know, pushing Israel in the sea. And some of that, is, again, stems from the fact that it's a problem this whole Muslim world, the whole Middle East has to deal with. And the terrorism even that happens with it inside, targeted at other Muslims, a lot of the time is spawned from this crisis that has been ongoing for decades.
Absolutely correct. And that gives you kind of a sense of what's going on in the region. We're going right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go take another call, Jordan.
Darlene in California on line one. Darlene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi. I just have a question. When this whole thing broke,
yep,
the special force guy, I don't even remember,
yep,
was it Ty Woods? I saw his father interview,
yeah,
and from my understanding, he went against orders just on ethics to help protect. Was that?
Yeah, no, well, they got a stand down order. David is a major, David French is a major in the United States Army. He can give you more the details on this, but let me first say that what he did was he had a stand down order. And he decided to help out.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that happened. Phase one of the fight was that initial attack on the compound. Phase two of the fight was the attack on the CIA compound that came several hours later. And that's what really concerns an awful lot of people, that there were two phases to this fight. One initially, another one like several hours later. And at no point did help come from any American military forces. And Jay's right. There's been testimony of a stand-down order,
yep,
given to people who were mobilizing to go help. And that's another one of those unanswered questions. There have been people who've said no help could have possibly been available. I don't believe that. And even if that is true, that means there's a failure at the highest levels of our military not to have such support available within a few hours of a call for help.
Let me play for everyone. This is the famous dialogue between Senator Ron Johnson and Hillary Clinton. Just so you remember, here it is.
We were misled that there were supposedly protests, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
You know, I'm going to go to Than and Jordan on this, but Than, I think that is going to be the phrase that haunts her if she decides to run for president. That is going to be the phrase that haunts her.
It should be the phrase that haunts her, Jay. This is incredibly serious. I mean, there has been a debate here in D.C. about whether or not there was enough time to get a response here. But everybody has to hear this point. The truth is, we did not even try to get a response there in time. In fact, we specifically declined to try to get a response there. Two of the four individuals that were killed in this case, Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods, they were 5 minutes away, and they were ready. They were asking to respond. They were trying to help, and they were told to stand down. And months later, when Hillary Clinton came to the Hill, her response was that it doesn't even matter. I got to tell you, even after the fact, when Americans die, it absolutely matters.
You know, also, Jordan, you got to ask yourself why is this administration so bent on not having the references to Al-Qaeda taken out of the initial talking points memo? And Mike Morrell said they were taken out. I mean, he didn't know why, but he said they were taken out.
Yeah, I mean, it is, again, an administration that does not want to acknowledge the threats we still face around the world. And I think it's weakened America in the sense that where we used to have a lot of respect, or at least it would incite some fear into the hearts and minds of countries and governments before they took action. Now they've seen too much protest, too many red lines drawn, lines in the sand drawn. You know, lines in the sand, when you draw those kind of lines, it's pretty easy to wash back over with them and kick the sand back over the line. And that's what this administration's done. One thing I can tell you is about is something we don't even talk about anymore here is the civil war ongoing in Syria. And that has divided the Middle East to a much larger extent than gets coverage in the United States. And I will tell you, the U.S., the fact that we are just standing back, and while chemical weapons are being used and those deals are not moving forward, and Russia's changed their mind on that in the last few days, it's almost unprecedented the amount of news coming in that you can't even get to it all in one day that is about basically the fact that no one cares about the American position, at least under the Obama administration. It's not that we don't have the size and the power to do something. It's that they don't believe this administration at this time is going to step in to stop anything. And so they're taking advantage of all the time they've got left under the presidency of Barack Obama.
So, which brings, I guess, David, raises this question, if there's this kind of unrest and no certainty, this lack of certainty, not only in the situation with Egypt, which is significant, but also when you look at it, I think, from the standpoint of just the natural fallout of the situation we mentioned at the beginning with Israel right now and the Palestinian Authority. Canceling a meeting with Secretary Kerry barely gets a mention on the media now, but this was a huge development.
You know, look, this whole issue was started because Secretary Kerry came in as Secretary of State and he did what American Secretaries of State have been doing for a long time. They said, I'm going to solve the Israeli-Palestinian question. And he comes in and he kickstarts and he restarts the peace talks. But in the Palestinians, there is not a partner for peace. If the American government, if our State Department can't recognize that, they have blinders on. These are people who will not agree to recognize a Jewish state of Israel. They will not abandon this fictional right of return that has been existed and concocted out of whole cloth and violates international law. Again and again, they celebrate murderers. They name schools after suicide bombers. I mean, that's not a partner for peace. And yet the Obama administration just blunders on, just keeps blundering on, and it only ends up hurting Israel.
Fan, what is your sense of what actually happens here? I mean, where do you see this coming out?
Well, on a foreign policy matter, Jay, I think the president is running out of options even among his base to defend his foreign policy. I mean, I think it's becoming abundantly clear that on all of these issues, he thinks first about what the international response would be and maybe later about what the American response would be. I mean, you think about Benghazi, you think about the Israel issue, the ICAN issue. I think he has fallen down on the job when it comes to foreign policy. And ultimately, Jay, because Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State for so long during that process, I think that is going to be on her as well, and we're going to see it continue to be on her through the next presidential cycle.
Well, at the end of the day, folks, we're going to fight for you. And Jordan, your sense just very quickly here, being in the region, is it different than the last time you were there? Is there a noticeable difference?
Well, the U.S. is pulling back, you know, a lot of its influence you look at what's happened in Iraq, it's different now. So where there's still, I mean, you know, people may be shocked, but you go to these countries that are 100% Muslim, they don't recognize, there's no freedom of religion, some of the strictest Islamic countries in the world. And if you go to some of the markets or you're walking around, there's U.S. Marines walking by, you know, in their normal civilian clothes, but they stand out. I mean, right. You know, it's a lot of guys with crew cuts walking down in perfect shape. And so this is the dichotomy of the world. We're there, but if we're there and we're not there strong, what kind of message is it sending? And are we just wasting U.S. money and potential U.S. lives?
All right, folks, we're fighting back on all these fronts. We've got a lot more in the broadcast ahead. Stay tuned. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Control over the internet at the level of ICANN's work is really in the hands already of the stakeholders. It is not in the hands of the U.S. What the U.S. simply has is a stewardship, I call it, rather than oversight, a stewardship role to ensure that the core functions we do are done according to the policy set by all the stakeholders, not by the U.S. government. And I think that it is time for the U.S. to consider that this stewardship is ready to be passed to the stakeholders, as it has always envisaged.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Congressman Mike Kelly, I talked to him moments before we went live today to get his insight on this upcoming hearing on the internet transfer. Go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Sign that petition. The hearing's today, but we're going to update these numbers during the week. aclj.org to sign that petition or 1-877-989-2255. We've got a bill here that's going to basically prohibit the National Telecommunications and Information Administration from relinquishing responsibilities, as Congressman outlined, with respect to internet domain names and related functions absent congressional approval. Now, the president said, Congressman, he was going to act with a pen and a phone, because if he can't get it done through the legislative process. And basically, it's true that he was going to do that through the Commerce, the Department of Commerce. They were just going to release this. But this is an effective block, correct? This could block his action with a pen.
Yes, and that's the whole purpose behind it. Jay, I got to tell you, when I go back home in Western Pennsylvania, I have people ask me all the time, what are you guys doing to stop this man from doing what he's doing to our country? There are certain things we can do. This is one of the things we can exercise. This is one of the powers that we do have, and we have to push. And what really helps, Jay, is for you to do what you keep doing and making sure Americans are informed. It's always, you know, it's what you don't know that'll hurt you.
Right.
It's what you don't know that can kill you. This is a very dangerous time for America. It's a very dangerous time for the world. And it's a very dangerous time for America from geopolitical consequences as we continue to walk away from commitments that make our friends and our allies wonder, where are they? They are MIA right now, and we have to have them with us, and they have to lock arms, and we have to make sure that we can stop the type of things that are going on in the world today, and we can do it by acting early and not waiting for something bad to happen.
What is the reaction, Congressman, been with your colleagues right now? Because, as I said, Bill Clinton came out very strongly opposed to President Obama's actions here. Even some of the Democratic consultants and commentators on the news, again, were coming out. What is your sense on that? What about the colleagues here on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think the more they learn about it, and again, Jay, as you know, there's so much going on all the time that sometimes there's these things that happen off to the side that distract you. There's all these distractions from seeing what's really going on. So our job has been, at least this office, as we work with our colleagues, is to make them informed of what's going on, whether it's United Nations Arms Trade Treaty, which is dangerous to our sovereignty and the way we handle our guns trade, or whether it's about the domain and the way we're trying to make sure that we have a stewardship over the internet. We have to let people know, and our job has been, like your job, while you're doing it nationally over the airwaves, we're trying to do it internally through our colleagues and the friendships and the relationships that we've developed here, saying, listen, you may not know about this. This is what's happening. So we get the information out to different offices. They read it. They get back to us. We share information the same as anybody would do to make sure that we are aware of what's happening and the consequences if we don't act strongly and we don't act quickly.
Congressman, let me ask you this. It's a little broader than the legislation here, but you look at the agenda of the administration. You're right. It's kind of this apologizing for the American exceptionalism. I gave a speech last week where I talked about American exceptionalism, and you're right. I think the president's embarrassed by it, so this is what he does. There's other areas where we see it as well. I mean, this is kind of this ongoing debate that we're all having is what path are we going down as a country right now, and how do you see it? I mean, you're coming up to midterm elections not far away. How do you see it? Are we at that kind of fork in the road point here?
I think we are, and I mentioned this before. When you look at the world in the 1930s and you look to Europe, what was happening in Germany and how the Nazis were advancing their agenda and their cause, and they were actually heralded back then as people who really turned an economy around, and they became the darlings of the world, and people started to look at them and say, listen, they're doing the right things. I'm watching what's happening right now. And we're saying to ourselves, listen, appeasement and walking away from our role as leaders is not acceptable. We will never, ever be at the situation. I hear people tell me all the time, listen, we're war weary. We're tired of being in leadership. I got to tell you this. When you're the leader, you don't get tired.
Right.
You don't have the option to sit back and say, this is a fight I don't want to fight.
Right.
This is one I'll let somebody else handle. Are you kidding me? Who else is there? If it is not for the United States of America, it is not for America and who we are. The world suffers. Now, some people say, you're being cocky. You're being boastful. No, this is a pride that is a result of over 1.6 million men and women in uniform giving their lives to make sure that freedom and liberty was able to survive in a world of bad actors. With us taking a diminished role right now and not being in the front, how in the world do you lead from the rear? That is absolutely ridiculous. What you do is you always stand there, you're always up front, and you're always the one that's out there early and often, and you don't get tired, you don't get weary. What you do is you get re-energized every time you go into that battle, because doggone it, if it isn't for us, the world suffers. I think President Reagan had it right from the start. He talked about that shining city on a hill that everybody aspired to be and wanted to get to. If we don't start recognizing that and understanding, with that leadership comes a responsibility. And with that responsibility comes that fact that you cannot get tired. You have to reinvigorate yourself all the time. You have to re-energize yourself all the time. And you have to get up every morning and throw your feet out over the bed and say, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to save my country. I'm going to save my state, my region, my family. If we don't have that type of blood running through our veins, then we relinquish everything that America has ever stood for. It's just that simple. It's not a hard thing to figure out. What makes me mad is that people sit back and say, well, maybe somebody else's turn. Say, really? Look behind you. There is nobody behind
you. Well, that is
you.
The great, yeah, and we have no country to flee to. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. Right. Hey, Congressman, I really appreciate you taking the lead on this and bringing this to the attention. I appreciate your vision of our country and the leadership role we take. And you're right. You know, as leaders, you don't have the option of saying, I don't want to lead tomorrow. That's not the way it works, because if you had that option, you wouldn't be a leader. It's that simple.
Jay, you know what? Listen, I'll tell you what. This is like a schedule that never ends. This is just one more game that came up right now. This is one game we have to win. This is one battle we have to win. And you know what? We'll win this one, and then tomorrow we'll get up, and there'll be another one to fight. But the idea is you just keep getting up, and you just keep fighting. You never let them knock you down. You never let them knock you off your pins, or you never let them knock you off course. We know where we're heading. You know what? We know what our responsibilities are, and we know we can do it because of who we are. We are America.
All right, Congressman. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks so much.
Perfect. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We're going to have more reports on this in the days ahead. But, folks, as Congressman said, this is just one battle out of many, but as he said, I also believe it. We can win this. Again, we need your help. We're over 100,000 signatures. We'd love to get to 110,000. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, share us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Let's get this information out. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, ACLJ.